City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, indeed. Hi, how are you? Welcome. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy, I know it feels like a Monday, but it's Tuesday, the fourth day of September, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and, well, boys and girls, here we go. We're past Labor Day. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. And I hope, well, I'm not so sure those of you in Florida had a great weekend, but because it's been super wet and they are, well, Florida's not bracing for it, but there's this tropical storm that they say will intensify into a hurricane as it roars toward the Gulf Coast, and it's pointing right at New Orleans. So Louisiana, heads up. Your governor declared a state of emergency. Hundreds of National Guard members are being deployed along the coastal areas. Alabama's governor is also issuing a similar declaration. Governors of Florida and Texas are monitoring developments, but National Hurricane Center says, I mean, this thing jumped up all of a sudden. They're calling the storm life-threatening. And warned that tornadoes were possible in Mississippi, Alabama, and the Florida Panhandle. So, yes, be heads up, pay attention, find out what's going on in your community, and here we go. So we're into September, and I thought it was, I don't know if it was Thursday of last week, I think it was, where somebody was talking about, they did some interview I saw of some weather people, and they said, my, it sure has been quiet. And the weather person said, well, there's a depression way over there by just off the coast of Africa. We don't know. That might do something. No, they missed these guys. There's this tropical storm that's turning into a hurricane and heading right toward, well, I mean, Mobile, you're in the path, New Orleans. So anyway, you know, prayers for those people, but be prepared. I'm sure you know it was a rainy weekend for those folks, but otherwise I hope your Labor Day was great. So now we're back to what is normally the kickoff day, what used to be the kickoff day for campaigns. And I'm not sure that applies anymore. Seems like campaigns are nonstop. Seems like politics is nonstop. But the one thing that's taking all the space, of course, today, over the weekend, well, we'll get to that. Over the weekend, of course, John McCain's funeral. And then we get back to work today, and we've got Brett Kavanaugh sitting before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And it has, yeah, if. I hope you're not sitting around watching this thing because, well, if you are, it is, I don't even know how to describe it. It is one of those things where you look and you go, no wonder Congress is so poorly thought of. They are acting like school children. But before the whole thing got started this morning, Judge Napolitano weighed in and said Democrats, and they have a beef, but I want to get into the numbers with you. They have a beef. They said 42,000 or 27,000. It was some big number of documents were dumped on the Judiciary Committee last night at 11 o'clock, and all the Democrats are squealing, and they should be. That should not have happened. They should have gotten these done beforehand, but. I want to get into it with you, but these are mostly the documents of Brett Kavanaugh's emails and letters and things like that when he was staff secretary for President George W. Bush. And a lot of people don't know what the staff secretary does, but basically they handle all the ingoing and outgoing for a president, and so they handle sensitive information, secret information. So I don't know how much of this could be produced, but Judge Napolitano said the Democrats are wanting these documents from the Bush administration to be a smoking gun.
Well, this is exquisitely unfair to release that number of documents the night before the hearing starts. It is literally impossible, even for a team of Democratic staffers, in fairness to them, to go through all of this and find what they're looking for. What are they looking for? They are looking for some antipathy towards Roe versus Wade expressed by a young Brett Kavanaugh when he worked in the George W. Bush White House. They are also looking for some comments which they believe he made in writing that are in favor of torture, or as the Bush administration called it, enhanced interrogation of people who were captured in the war on terror in the months and years immediately following 9/11. Why are they looking for that? Because if they can find some negative comments about Roe versus Wade, they can try to drive a wedge between the Kavanaugh nomination and two Republican senators about whom we've all been speaking this morning, Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. And if they can find anything even remotely supportive of torture, they will try to drive a wedge between the Kavanaugh nomination and Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, who is as fierce an opponent of government torture as John McCain was, and who probably would change his already announced pro-Kavanaugh stand to a neutral or negative position if these memos surface and if Judge Kavanaugh cannot distinguish the young Judge Kavanaugh from the present Judge Kavanaugh.
Yeah, so that's what's that's part of what's going on, and I agree with the judge. I mean, it was really, they were supposed to have these documents before, but it takes time, and they did not, and so the Democrats were asking this morning for a delay, but they're asking for a delay, and it's somewhat specious what they're doing because of the fact that I think there's two of them that have not said this, but the rest of them on the panel have all said they've already made up their mind about Kavanaugh, and they are opposed to him being a Supreme Court justice. So they're griping about the documents that they need to look at before they can make up their mind, but they've all but two have already made up their mind. That's what is so bizarre about all of this. So it is theater, and it's total political theater, and I don't think it looks good. I mean, I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat. I think they are acting very much like school children, and what they did was they got together. I'll play it for you here in a little bit. We've got to get the break in first, but because it's long, 5 minutes long, but the beginning of this Senate confirmation hearing was just nothing but a choreographed school children technique where they all had the exact same talking points and they all followed one after another, interrupting Chuck Grassley, who is the chairman of the committee, and one after another said, "What are they hiding? What are they hiding?" They had all the talking points down. Now, I don't blame them for wanting to have all these documents, but when they already have expressed their pre-document belief that they don't want this guy, they don't need to look at anything. Oh, I know they'd like to find something so they can say, see what he wrote here, see what he said there. I don't believe it's going to make any difference. As Democrats have concluded, and most of them don't want to say this out loud, but some have, that they don't have the votes to stop this. And why don't they have the votes? Well, you can thank Harry Reid. Harry Reid used to be for judicial nominations and advice and consent from the Senate. You had to get 60 votes. 60. Or there was the filibuster was used, and all kinds of things were used to slow down the whole process. Harry Reid wanted to hurry up the judicial nominations by President Obama, so he did away with the nuclear options, what they called it. They did away with the 60 votes, and all you need is 50. All you need is 50, because the Democrats did not have 60. He wanted to get a bunch of judicial nominees through, so he said, let's change it to 50. So along come the Republicans. You know this is going to backfire. Along come the Republicans, and they use the exact same technique, but they said, well, since we're talking about the judicial branch, we might as well make it for everybody in the judicial branch, including Supreme Court nominees. So, bingo, that's now, thank you, Harry Reid, he blew up the old rule. So now this is also, I predict with certainty, will backfire down the road somewhere, someday, when there's a Democrat president and a Democrat Senate. They will use the 50 to get a whole bunch of Democrat left-leaning judges appointed to the federal benches. So it's a game that they play, and if you think about what's really important here, these Supreme Court justices, they are, this is generational. This is absolutely generational. This isn't just making an election for a president. This is absolutely something that will go on and on and on and on and on. So I think this is the nuclear option that Harry Reid did away with was very, very surprising. So I don't know if you've had a chance to watch any of it this morning. We will play for you the opening 5 minutes, which is, I don't know if it'll come across as shocking on the radio as it does on TV, but it really shows how immature the people that are senators are supposed to be leaders of our country, how they act. And a lot of it was, a couple of them anyway, were certainly are angling to be a Democrat presidential candidate in 2020. So they're angling for, you got to run left if you're going to be a Democrat and get the nominee. And so Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, a few others were all fake outrage on their presentations today. So far, I don't believe Brett Kavanaugh has been asked one single question. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. We will be right back.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
All right, so we got to get to this. This is going to take the whole segment up, but this is the first 5 minutes of the Kavanaugh hearing as the Senate confirmation hearings got underway. Listen to this.
Good morning. I welcome everyone to this confirmation hearing on the nomination of
Mr.
Judge
Chairman
Brett Kavanaugh.
Mr. Chairman.
To serve as Associate Justice.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be recognized for a question before we proceed.
Regular order.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be recognized to ask a question before we proceed. The committee received just last night, less than 15 hours ago, 42,000 pages of documents that we have not had an opportunity to review or read or analyze.
You're out of order. I'll proceed.
We cannot possibly move forward, Mr. Chairman.
I extend a very warm welcome
we have not
to
been
Judge
given
Kavanaugh,
an opportunity to have a meaningful
his wife,
hearing
Ashley,
on this nominee.
There are two daughters.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with my colleague, Senator Harris. Mr. Chairman,
Judge
we received 42,000 documents that we haven't
and
been
able
to review
us
last
today.
Night, and we believe this hearing should
I know
be postponed.
This is an exciting day for all of you here,
Mr. Chairman,
and you're rightly proud
Mr. Chairman,
of Judge.
If we cannot be recognized, I move to adjourn.
The American people,
Mr. Chairman, I move
to
adjourn.
Directly from Judge Kavanaugh later this afternoon.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn. Mr. Chairman, we have been denied real access to the documents we need to advise.
Mr. Chairman, regular order is called for.
Which turns this hearing into a charade and a mockery of our norms.
Well,
and Mr. Chairman, I therefore move to adjourn this hearing.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're not in an executive session.
Mr. Chairman, I ask for a roll call vote on my motion to adjourn. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn. I ask for a roll call vote.
We're not in executive session. We will continue as planned.
Mr. Chairman, may I be recognized, sir? Mr. Chairman, I appeal to the chair to recognize myself or one of my colleagues.
You're out of order.
Mr. Chairman, I appeal to be recognized on your sense of decency and integrity. Even the documents you have requested, Mr. Chairman, even the ones that you said, the limited documents you have requested, this committee has not received. And the documents we have, you, sir, have
Chairman,
labeled
I'd
committee confidential. They should be transparent. This committee, sir, is a violation of even the values I've heard you talk about time and time again, the ideals that we should have. What is the rush? What are we trying to hide by not having the documents out front? What is with the rush? What are we hiding by not letting those documents come out? Sir, this committee is a violation of the values that we as a committee have striven for, transparency. We are rushing through this process in a way that is unnecessary. And I appeal for the motion to at least be voted on.
Mr. Chairman.
At least let's have a vote, because when we wrote you a letter on August 24th
Senator,
asking to have a meeting on this issue, you denied us even the right to meet. So here we are having a meeting. Let's at least debate this issue. Let's at least call this for a vote.
Senator,
I appeal to your sense of fairness and decency, your commitments that you've made to transparency. This violates what you have even said and called for, sir. You've called for documents, you yourself, limited documents. We thought there should be more. We have not received the documents that you have even called for. So, sir, based upon your own principles, your own values, I call for at least to have a debate or a vote on these issues and not for us to rush through this process.
Mr. Chairman,
I've heard calls for
regular order. I'd like to respond to Senator Booker. Senator Booker, I think that I respect very much a lot of things you do, but you spoke about my decency and integrity, and I think you are taking advantage of my decency and integrity. So.
And that was just the first 5 minutes. And the Code Pink protesters are there, and they've choreographed that, too, so that every 2 or 3 minutes, one of them stands up and starts shouting. It is disgusting.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Well, it's an interesting observation. It's kind of members of Congress on display, and they think they're looking pretty good. They're protesting every little procedure. It was they started around 9:30 Eastern time, and it was 10:45, 10:50 before they actually got underway. So they did an hour and 20 minutes of just complaining about procedures. And I don't blame them for saying, hey, you dumped a bunch of thousands of documents. There's supposed to be over a million documents that make up the history of Judge Kavanaugh because of his lengthy time on the bench and his lengthy time over at the White House as staff secretary. He has written a lot. And so there's a lot to go through. And, of course, the Democrats want to delay it until, if they can get it delayed until next year, hoping that they somehow there's some new Senate that's controlled by the Democrats. Even the Democratic pollsters say, nah, the House looks like it's going to be controlled by the Democrats, but not the Senate. But it could be. You don't know. And that's what they're hoping for, is that the Senate will be controlled by the Democrats, and then they can put a stop to this Kavanaugh deal. They're not going to be able to drag it out that far. They're just not going to be able to. But they're trying. So the other part which is interesting is the choreography of Code Pink, that they have people that are in there, and it's open to the public. And they stand, they get in line early, they know how to do it, and they about every 2 or 3 minutes, one of them gets up and starts yelling. Start yelling in the background! You don't know what they're saying. You have no idea other than they're yelling and they're complaining, and then they have a couple of the Capitol Police come over and as gently as possible move these people out of the room. And then 2 or 3 minutes later, there's another one. We don't know what they're saying. I'm not quite sure why people do that. Why, would you like to sign up for a protest where nobody will know what you're saying and you're going to get thrown out of the room? What does that accomplish? I guess I'm just not passionate enough about protesting to where I don't understand it. So here's a little bit of that. This is more of the confirmation hearings where the Democrats are still complaining about they want more time to review Kavanaugh's records.
Mr. Chairman, when will we review Senator Blumenthal's motion to adjourn?
What's your motion? I renew my motion to adjourn, Mr. Chairman. Okay. I think we're entitled to a vote on it.
Yeah.
The responses that, Mr. Chairman, you've given, with all due respect, really fly in the face of the norms of this committee, our traditions, and our rules.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, if I might add an additional point, I agree with my colleague. It is striking, given your long history of encouraging the executive branch to treat minority requests equal with majority requests, that you discourage the National Archives from responding to Ranking Member Feinstein's request, which she tried to craft with you to be identical to the request for records from Justice Kagan. We should not be proceeding until we have the full documents that allow us to review the judge's records.
And, Mr. Chairman, last Friday we learned that nearly 102,000 pages of documents from Judge Kavanaugh's work in the White House counsel's office are being withheld from the committee and the public based on a claim of constitutional privilege. Executive privilege has never been invoked to block the release of presidential records to the Senate during a Supreme Court nomination. This includes when Justice Kagan was nominated to the Supreme Court, as well as Justice Roberts. Yesterday, my colleagues and I sent a letter to the White House counsel asking that the president withdraw his claim of privilege over these documents so that they can be made available to this committee and to the American people. We have not yet received a response to that letter, so we should not be proceeding until we have a response and these documents have been available. It is 102,000 documents.
And, Mr. Chairman,
my motion to adjourn, Mr. Chairman, would raise this issue of executive privilege and whether it has been properly asserted for reasons that have been outlined well by my colleague, Senator Whitehouse. There is no valid claim here of executive privilege. Even if there were one, it has not been properly asserted. The question is, what is the administration afraid of showing the American people? What is it trying to hide?
And, Mr. Chairman, using your own words in the statement you just read, you said, I quote, "We've had more than enough time to review the documents." Sir, we just got a document dump last night of over 40,000 pages. I would venture to say not one senator here has had time to read through those 40,000 pages. And so we are continuing to rush through this process, a process that deserves to be scrutinized. I support Senator Blumenthal's motion to adjourn, and I hope that we could at least have a vote on that motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a court in the country that would not give a party litigant a continuance when the party on the other side did a 42,000-page document dump after close of business the night before trial.
Mr. Chairman, we waited for more than a year with a vacancy on the Supreme Court under the direction of your leader in the United States Senate, and the Republic survived. I think the treatment was shabby of Merrick Garland and President Obama's nominee. The fact that we cannot take a few days or weeks to have a complete review of Judge Kavanaugh's record is unfair to the American people. It's inconsistent with our responsibility under Section Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution to advise and consent on Supreme Court nominees.
All right, so they all have the same talking points. The interesting thing about the documents of Judge Kavanaugh when he was staff secretary in the George W. Bush administration, that that comes from the Bush legal team. Yeah, the W legal people are the ones who just dumped 42,000 documents last night at 11 p.m., but they had already provided over 415,000 pages to the committee. 147,000 of those are apparently top secret, but they have been allowed for the committee to see them, but not the public. But there's 415,000 pages. Let me ask you something. I don't know if you read a lot, if you read a lot of books. What's a book that you read? 200 pages, 300 pages, 400 pages? They've already turned over 415,000 pages to the committee. If I started reading, by the way, these documents are all on the Senate Judiciary Committee's webpage. You can go there, and there they are. It's all there. Judge Kavanaugh's mainstream view on independent counsel. Independent counsel is the Supreme Court. More access to more records by more people. A bit on privilege of staff secretaries and solicitors general. It goes on and on and on. So it's all there for you to begin reading. How long do you think it'll take you to read a book that's 400 pages long? How long do you think it'll take you to read almost 500,000 pages? I mean, I can see what they're doing. I know they have staff, and they assign the staff to, okay, you take the first 1,000 pages, you take the second 1,000 pages, you take the third 1,000 pages. It's a huge undertaking. And the bottom line, after all is said and done, which I find fascinating, is that all but two of them have already expressed their views that they are opposed to Judge Kavanaugh. They're going to vote no. So if you already know, I don't know how you know, but if you've already reached your point of opinion about how you're going to vote, then you can bet these people aren't reading through these 400 and some thousand pages. But the fact that they got 42,000 of them last night gives them something to point to. But it is just theater. And you heard Dick Durbin there. Basically, this is getting back at, you didn't treat Merrick Garland right, so we're mad. I don't think it's a good look. I think it makes Congress look bad, and they wonder why they rank so low in public opinion. We'll be right back.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
Yeah, there's a list of 22 Democrat senators that are saying that they oppose Judge Kavanaugh. So this was before any question about the documents. The documents are a red herring, saying, oh, yes, we can't make up our minds without the documents. They've already said they're making up their minds. John in Reno, Nevada. John, hello. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Thanks, Tom. The 42,000 pages of documentation came from the Bush administration.
Right.
I believe a man named Burke presented those at the last second. But there's another 100,000 pages of documentation from the Trump administration, which Donald Trump is refusing to release.
Right, they're claiming
you can call it a red herring, but
well, they call it executive privilege, and I presume some of it probably qualifies. There was great discussion about it, but what it really is, John, is it is a red herring. They are using that as the reason to try and delay this. Now, I know hope is, you know, eternal. They're hoping that they can get this to a Democrat Senate. I don't think they'll make it that far, and that's why the Republicans are racing, because they don't want to even take a chance. So it's a hurry up and vote for this guy. But I think the Democrats, the 22 Democrats that came out and said they're not going to vote for him, have kind of given up the gig, don't you think, by saying it doesn't matter what the documents say. And if there's 100,000 documents that are under executive privilege, how long would it take you to read 100,000 documents? Forever. This is all,
well, it's
a game.
It's what's in the documents, though, Tom. For one thing, he said that he felt like Richard Nixon was falsely indicted and impeached and removed from office. That's one of the things that he's written about. Which that's got to be one of the only people in America that feels that way, and he wants to be on the Supreme Court.
But here's the thing. Everybody left and right have said this guy is a brilliant lawyer, a great, brilliant mind, legal mind. His students, his fellow professors at Harvard Law and Yale Law, where he has taught at both of those, say the guy is an incredible legal mind. Now, you may disagree with his conclusions, but nobody's going to, I think everybody by now that's interested in this are already of the opinion, like the 22 Democrats, they don't want him because of the fact that he's a conservative. That's what it's about. But nobody argues the fact that this guy isn't qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. They just don't want him on there because he's a conservative, and that will bend the court, because Kennedy was maybe sometimes, maybe not. Wait till the next one comes along. And that, I'm sorry, but it doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat that retires or dies on the Supreme Court, or a conservative, or a liberal. A conservative, let's say a conservative dies or quits. You replace an old geezer conservative with a brand new young conservative is just as, I don't know, the left is going to go nuts on the next one, for sure. They already are on this one. I understand why this is going to change the court for generations. I get it. But I think it's a false flag to say, well, if I only had those documents, I would know more about this guy. I don't blame them for complaining, but it's not going to change their minds.
It's got to be a fair and impartial judge, though, not somebody that's to the right of Mount Rushmore in its thinking. That's not.
How do you know that? Have you read the half a million pages on his judicial thing?
Are you just
repeating the talking points of the left?
Well, you can call them talking points, but they're in his writings, in his own writings that he signed.
Give me an example. Give me an example.
He suggested that President Richard Nixon was falsely indicted. He didn't think he should have been removed from office based on the amount of evidence they had against him. I mean, how much evidence would they need? People are carrying around $1 million in hush money through
airports. Let me tell you, let me give you something to go work on. The legal community has a huge debate about whether a sitting president can be indicted. The Department of Justice, under the Obama administration, came up with a policy that said, no, we're going to take the position that a sitting president cannot be indicted. The reason for it, if you follow the rest of Judge Kavanaugh's writings about that, was because he said there is a remedy. It's not in the indictment. It's in the Congress. And Congress is the one that has the only and sole authority that the founding fathers wanted to give to them to remove a sitting president. No court can remove a sitting president, only the Congress. He didn't say you can't remove him. He just said you can't use the courts to do it. That's all. And that is, in essence, the debate that lawyers from left to right go round and round and round on. They debate it all day long. So
the people think that the Supreme Court is a place to go, though, to get justice. If he's going to defer to the Congress, That just shows he's a gutless person on top of everything else.
No. Read the Constitution, John. That's where the argument is in the writing of the Constitution about the fact that there is a process for removing a president. It's in the Constitution. You are absolutely showing that you are not open-minded. You are already closed, just like these senators are pretending that they have to read 47,000 more pages or 100,000 more pages, when in fact they are going through a charade. It is a show. It is theater. They already know how they're going to vote. We could hold the vote in the next 5 minutes. I could predict exactly what the vote outcome will be. And I know how you would vote. So let's not pretend anymore. But I appreciate the call. Let's get Tom in here from Carson City. Hello, doctor. How are you?
You know, I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah.
Your last caller is a Northern Nevadan that supposedly thinks. We know exactly where he's coming from. We know exactly where the Democratic Congress is coming from. They have plenty of paperwork to make their decisions. They've already made them. The gallery is embarrassing to the progressive liberal movement, but that's exactly how they act and respond in life today. My only frustration, Tom, with this whole proceeding is that probably Kavanaugh was not as conservative as I wished he would be at selection.
That's a good point. Nobody knows how he will rule in the future, and there have been plenty of Republican appointees that have turned left once they get the black robes on. You don't know. But people are convinced they know the future. Wish we had more time, Tom. Always appreciate your calls. We'll take a short break and come right back. We've got more topics than Kavanaugh.